like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Snap goes to Jalen. Looking downfield. Got a man. Bernard, catch made. Touchdown, Alabama.
That is Roll Tide Radio with the call as Alabama wins 27-25 over South Carolina. What?
Only took y'all 4 days to come around and finally talk about this football game. I can't wait. Take it away, Chuck. Okay. I cannot wait.
Well, I mean, yeah, we were a little busy yesterday.
A convenient excuse.
Yes.
A convenient excuse.
I do believe it was scheduled for 9 o'clock yesterday morning, but things as they are do get bumped.
Yes.
Bama wins 27-25. I don't know if you saw the end of this game or you noticed this part, but Bama intercepts a pass, kind of like a Hail Mary-ish thing, very, very end of the game. The guy catches the ball at about the 2 to 3 yard line.
Dude.
You know what I'm talking about.
Saban would have, if Saban was still coaching, he would have had a heart attack on the sideline right then.
Catches the ball, right? He's running towards the end zone. So he catches the ball and runs into the end zone, turns around, and is about to kneel. And one of the other teammates goes, no, 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 no. Because that would have been a safety. Could have been. Now, they could have said his momentum carried him in, which, I mean, you can make the case. Either way, I would not have had a problem if he knelt and they said that's a safety. You got to control your body. But I also know, I think it was like 2 steps. I mean, is that worth? I mean, you know what I mean? So, but either way, that almost was like game-tying safety right there.
It was 2 things that were great. One, he was about to kneel, and then when his teammate was like, no, that might be a safety, he took that to mean, oh, try to score a touchdown. And instead of just running out and kneeling at the 5, he starts trying to run the thing back and duck through traffic. It's like, dude, you're going to fumble this football.
You are not used to carrying that football. So Bama wins by 2. Not an impressive showing. So they went 27-25.
Let me comment. As I was sitting there following Dave Portnoy's pizza advice in Garland, Texas, and I'm getting lit up with Bobby and Jared text. Bobby, don't ever talk to me about Bama. I was right. I was scorched earth last week. So I'm not watching the game while trying to judge this New Haven pizza, but I eventually get caught up on the game.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Bama barely won, but...
Tell me about it, McCarthy.
Let me make the argument. You made it... The way I got it from your text is like they pulled out a miracle in order to survive at the end. They were in control at the end with... Who did they even play again?
South Carolina.
With South Carolina needing some things to happen in order to make the score closer. So I just want the court to hear that evidence where... You made it sound like it was an Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary. They got thrown up and tossed up. Teams can have close wins and survive, but they were still in control of that game at the end, Bobby.
Can Alabama, you think Nick Saban in his prime is saying,
well, you told me that Saban wasn't the man. He was overrated.
We can be down 5 to crappy South Carolina and Bryant Denny.
When were they down?
In the fourth quarter. They were down by 5 in the fourth quarter. And that's there was a great point on, I was listening to the Solid Verbal podcast over the weekend, and they were just kind of going through recaps of the games, and they got to the Alabama game, and they said, if you watched these last 2 weeks, if you were to watch these last 2 weeks of football, everybody agreed there was nothing fluky about the way Vanderbilt beat Alabama. They didn't need to recover 3 onside kicks or do
Why
a bunch of...
Why you listen to them? I could have told you I was there.
That's true. But there's nothing fluky about it. They went in there and they just beat Bama.
Yes.
Like punched him in the mouth and beat him.
And South Carolina is a maddening team. They destroyed Kentucky and Kentucky beat Ole Miss. And then Kentucky goes and loses to Vandy. And they gave LSU like a really good game. But then South Carolina gets worked by Ole Miss. It's like that is... It is a treacherous conference to navigate because sometimes you get these teams that have 5, 6, 7 NFL players on it that just pop for that day.
But this was an instance that, like they put out, they said, then this week, Bama beats South Carolina, and you come out of it and you look at the totality of the game and you go, it feels kind of fluky that Bama won. Because this is a game where South Carolina had pretty much been in control in terms of moving the football compared to Alabama. Alabama struggled a couple different times to be able to pick up first downs throughout this game. South Carolina finishes with like 100 more yards of offense. They have 4 turnovers, but 3 of them are fumbles, which fumbles in general feel like fluky behavior.
They are.
The fact that you fumble, then, okay, which does it bounce? Who's going to pick it up? Like, it's a little, it's so unpredictable. So this is, for this to happen again, just to get an awful performance like this at Bryant-Denny, like they did against South Florida a couple weeks ago, five straight games of trailing.
Where are they now in the rankings? How do the rankings look?
Okay, so Bama is right now.
They're eighth, aren't they?
Yeah, let me go back to this here.
But while you look it up, last week we played legend.
Seventh.
Self-appointed legend going off on Kalen DeBoer. Well, now the new Kalen DeBoer criticism, he's not wearing a collared shirt. They are ticked off and furious that he's wearing just like a sweatshirt, not a collared shirt like Saban. And they're like, put on a damn collared shirt, represent this program. And DeBoer had to comment on this in the press conference, like, yes, I've been made aware of that.
Yeah.
But he went back out there with his sweatshirt.
He did not give in.
And this is, you know, Bama, when you go to a Bama game, the students, I mean, any game in the deep South, like the fraternity guys all wear suits to the game. The girls dress up.
They wear suits.
Pledges. Yeah, they wear suits
okay,
to the game.
Okay.
And that's just an SEC thing. I mean, I don't know if it happens elsewhere, but I know it does there. So they're in Tennessee this weekend, and this is kind of like a playoff elimination game. If Bama loses, that'll be two losses for them. And I mean, their schedule's not done. I mean, they still got to play LSU, and for Tennessee, they still got to go to Georgia. So they did the last night. They had a college playoff selection show, where it was like they're predicting what the committee is going to do based on the numbers. And these actually two teams would play each other in the first round. Obviously, it's not going to happen because one of them is going to lose today, and the winner would get Texas, who they have Texas at the number one. And they spent way too much time, in my opinion, on who should be number one between Oregon and Texas. Now, if you want to make a case that Oregon has a better win today, I'm not going to argue that.
Sure.
They do have a better win. But when the season's over, Texas is going to have a win over A&M on the road, who's going to be a top 10 team at that point. They're going to have a win over Georgia, and they'll have a second win over Alabama, whoever makes it in the...
And it also doesn't matter. They may have a better win on this. I don't hate anybody who's going to vote Oregon right now. A couple people, fine.
You'll be less upset about people voting Oregon one than you were Bama when they beat Georgia.
Yes. Oregon, though, like, it was such a thin margin at the end for them. Right. And you're talking about consistently they've had more issues with execution, and they've been a much sloppier team overall than Texas. Like, that's not really debatable. They've had a lot of different struggles this
Georgia?
Season. No, Oregon.
Oh,
even early on, they had struggles.
Yeah, Boise.
And so
Idaho.
Because of that, like, I think it's a tough argument. I'm not going to kill you if you got six AP voters who voted for Oregon out of, like, however many it is, 70.
And I'll be honest, you don't want to, I don't believe you want to be the one seed. Because the one seed eventually is going to play the second best team in the country. Because the one seed eventually is going to play the five. The five is going to be, you know, whoever the number one at large team is, which could be Ohio State. It could be, you don't want to, I don't think you want to be, I'd much rather be the two, because you're going to play more flood team as it gets further down the line. On the fan this weekend, Saturday night, it's going to be LSU Arkansas, 6 o'clock game. So that's the other one. There's only three ranked games this weekend: Michigan, Illinois, Alabama, Tennessee, and then Georgia and Texas. Georgia, Texas on 1080 KRLD.
What's the Georgia, Texas spread, Bob?
It's been inconsistent. So, like, Choppy was looking at that last week.
Pepe may actually know it.
It's a pick 'em, basically, because some sports books look like they had it as, like, Georgia by one. Some had Texas by 1.5. The last I saw it, I think it said Texas 2.5.
ESPN Bet's got Texas 3.5. I think it's a fair number. I think it's a fine number. I think that this could be, I mean, it's going to be a really good game. I think Texas is a better team, and it would not surprise me if they win by double digits. It's the College Football Kegger here on 105 Through the Fan. Ashton Genty is going to be the Heisman Trophy winner.
Probably.
We are going to get a non-quarterback, and we get far more non-quarterbacks win the Heisman than we do
NFL MVP.
NFL MVPs that are non-quarterbacks. We had Devontae Smith a couple years ago. That won it.
Here's some of the numbers real quick. 17 quarters, 17 touchdowns. He's got 1,248 rushing yards and 18 scores through six games. He's gone for 200-plus four times this year. That's the most through a player's first six games of a season over the last 20 years. What are y'all seeing in him in the early scouting, and Is this a better prospect than like Bijan?
Not a better prospect than Bijan. Not a better prospect probably coming out than like Barkley. At least early on. It's early, obviously. We'll get more into the study and we'll find out more things about him during the process. But right now, he's definitely a first round pick. And he is, I mean, I saw somebody make the comparison. I haven't gone deep into the tape yet, but on TV copy, I don't think it's a bad one. Somebody compared him to, they said, he's like a faster Maurice Jones-Drew. Like, that's the kind of play. So imagine MJD.
Close physicality.
Imagine MJD's running style, but he's fast. That's kind of who.
Is he a better prospect than Gibbs? Because Gibbs was like mid-first round.
Probably similar.
Similar.
Maybe a little less.
So he's averaging 10 yards a carry.
Yeah, you when you talk about Oregon struggling.
He faces the Cowboys every week.
Right, he does. Because, you know, he played against Oregon in week two.
They held him to 7.7 yards per carry. That's his second lowest total of the year.
Wow. But, yeah, like, you know, so the whole thing with – he literally is more efficient than any quarterback in the land. There's not a quarterback out there that's averaging 10 yards an attempt.
He got to 1,000 yards rushing. He had, like, 97 carries on
there. Yeah, I mean, he had a lot of work this week. He had 31 carries. I mean, he's icing his body. But he is going to wind up winning the Heisman Trophy. Right now, he is the favorite at plus 175. The next is Oregon quarterback Dylan Gabriel at plus 375.
That is all about the Ohio State game.
Yes, and then Cam Ward at 6-1. And you're looking at me, Quinn. I still think, Quinn, you're going to get great value. And if he goes on this run and they go undefeated and he is, you know, they're dominating and he plays well, he's going to be a live dog to get that Heisman Trophy.
Cam Ward's putting up old school Mike Leach offense style numbers for Miami, and they still haven't lost a game. So I don't know. Cam Ward's somebody who I think still could push.
Lincoln Riley continues to sweat. continues to sweat as they lost 33-30 overtime to Penn State and LSU. That game, they led for exactly 0 minutes and 0 seconds and still won.
And he is absolutely sweating. And like it's now we're in year three of him at USC. In today's college world, that's an eternity because of the transfer portal. The best thing you say about him, he had five quarterbacks start an NFL game this week. Five.
What?
He had five quarterbacks that played for him that started an NFL game
this
week. In the
NFL?
Yeah.
I thought USC played five quarterbacks.
No. Caleb.
We don't need to go down.
Five guys.
You know, the big criticism that he had coming out of this game this past weekend, Link, is just all the his issues with game management are so bad. It's almost a guarantee. If it's a close game, it's like there'll be some sort of issue with clock management or some issue down the stretch, and you just got to wonder, does it kill USC?
Fill in the blank. His next job will be
in the Lincoln NFL. Riley.
In the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, as an offensive coordinator.
I don't know. Cliff?
Not as a college head coach.
Cliff was fired up.
Yeah, he was fired up. I mean, I do think that he's a college guy. But, I mean, I also think that, you know, he can't handle a defense.
College. He's a psycho.
Lincoln?
Yeah, they say he's nuts. Like in terms of just heavy-handed.
And he burns his brisket up bad. Ooh. College football kegger here on DFW Sports Station. It's the Hump Day Edition. We're going to hook you up with a concert ticket giveaway to Lincoln Park. And everyone around the sports world reacting to the Jerry Jones interview. Shannon Sharp destroying the Cowboys owner. Our boy the Playmaker and Stephen A. Smith as well. Hear all the reaction next during the commercial-free expressway. And that means we are commercial free. We will have this week's power rankings at 8 o'clock. Also, a Lincoln Park ticket giveaway this Lincoln segment. Park. And we are going to chop it up here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. If you are just stopping by this program, what's all the hoopla about? Who are these whippersnappers getting Jerry Jones all worked up? I'm Sean Sharif. My co-host of 14 years, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. We got Pepe and Caitlin running things in the back, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Now let's do round three. In case you missed things yesterday, here is a little clip of Jerry Jones getting a little worked up over talking about the state of his football team with us.
we can go into this. I'm saying what I'm saying. Don't tell me what I'm saying.
Okay.
You listen to what I'm saying.
Jerry, why are you getting so mad at us? We're just asking you why the blowouts are happening, the historical differences at home. We're just asking about it on behalf of the fans, and you're getting real ticked off and mad at us. We're just
Can I tell you something, guys? I don't get mad at people that I can not be with if I don't want to be with. I don't get mad. You're asking me for a response, and I'm giving you a response. We got to play better, and we got to play better at specific points. No, there's no looking for stepping out here and bringing in 20 new players between now and the bye. That's not the way it works.
So things were kind of calm, except for the reaction, like, on all the shows and everything and all the awesome messages from Tolos. Nothing from the Cowboys, nothing from the bosses. And then last night, in case you missed it, Jerry Jones tells Diana Rossini after the owners' meetings that I don't need to be grilled by those guys. I'll take it from real fans or real football people. I may have had a different answer, and I don't need to be getting that from the flagship station. And that really threw us all for a loop. Here's my theory on that. It's just a theory. I don't know. My theory is that Jerry Jones talked to us before getting on his private plane. He landed. He was 1 minute before, one minute early to the owners' meetings. He went inside the meetings.
You're on time, you're late.
They last all day long. Cowboy reporters would kill for that timing all from right. McCarthy's pressers. He goes into the meeting. He's in there with the other owners. And by the way, Jerry took that little shot at us as well, saying, you guys think you're so smart. You know, you're not one of the owners. You need to be coming to this meeting. You're one of the, you be one of the football.
I mean, he invited us. I mean, I'll be like, okay, I'll go. I mean, I'll talk to 31 other people.
So all hell breaks loose, and Jerry gets absolutely annihilated and criticized from the entire world. He walks out, and he doesn't know. He's not getting those updates. He's talking about league business. Bobby, have you ever been to the owners' meetings, or do you know the setup in terms of reporters like waiting for you to walk out of those doors?
So I haven't been there specifically, but yeah, a lot of times it's there if there's a certain, you know, ballroom they're meeting in or something at a hotel, they're posted up in a hallway, or they're sitting there waiting in a lobby, and they're just waiting to catch somebody walking by and stop them.
So everyone's waiting for like Mark Davis after the Devontae trade, right? Well, Diana Rossini, I believe, got Jerry Jones walking out. Jerry gave her, he doubled down, tripled down on these comments with even more insults towards us. And my theory is Cowboy PR, Tad, did not get a chance to brief him on the world's reaction before he talked to Rossini. That's my theory. That's the only thing that makes sense to me, that someone did not get to him and be like, hey, just to let you know, you're getting taken apart here. Threatening jobs, belittling, small, petty, whatever the Tolos were saying yesterday. That's the only thing that makes sense to me, because for him to come out multiple times and basically say, I'll set up state-run media the way I want it to be run and get the questions that I want to be asked, that's the thing that has boggled my mind the most, because that's not Jerry Jones, y'all. I'm telling you, I'm being objective. Yes, you know, Jerry, you know, came at us, tried to embarrass us yesterday, but I'm still going to be fair about it and honest. Jerry Jones doesn't pay us, and Jerry Jones does not dictate and control where the interviews go with the questions. So for him, multiple times yesterday, to want to give off the appearance that he is not as media... as big of a media treat as he's been, and not Dan Snyder with his radio stations in DC, it blows my mind. Now, a couple people have given theories. They said, yes, Jerry knows he doesn't own the radio station that's owned by Odyssey, but maybe he still thinks, like, I'm Jerry Jones. I've been going on here for 15 years. That's my bat phone. That's my megaphone. So it's not technically Jerry's radio station, but maybe he thinks
his platform.
Like, it is right. His platform.
It's platform that time slot.
Yeah.
Every football season.
The other theory that people threw, I mean, I had some crazy theories thrown at me yesterday. I had someone throw out there. Maybe Jerry thought he was doing, this is no disrespect to the people over there. It is what it is. If you work for the team website, you can't go as harsh as we're able to do. And Nick Eatman will join us at 9:20. Nick's like, no, I want to come on. Someone suggested maybe Jerry thought he was like on with one of his .com shows. And he's like, where's this questioning coming from? Why are you pressing me? He wouldn't get pressed like that in a DallasCowboys.com interview. Not a shot towards Derek Eagleton and his team. They dominate. I don't believe that. I'm just telling you what.
You don't believe they dominate?
No. People are so confused and so befuddled. Even people that work in the building, they're trying to come up with reasons. And the other explanation that could be possible, I guess, is Jerry, we are partners. We're radio partners. We're not employees of Jerry Jones. I want to make that very, 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 very clear. We are not Jerry Jones employees. I think you learned that yesterday. But we are partners. And I do want to say one thing. I don't need any apology from Jerry Jones. I don't think we're getting it after last night. Jerry Jones has done more for us, me, way more. Way, way more than we've ever done for him. We all feed off of that star. Like the fish that follow the whale, the dolphin. I don't know, some sea expert. My son could probably tell it better than me with his sea animal obsession. We all follow the star swimming, and we feed off all the leftovers. Jerry Jones has put us on national TV every single week. Jerry Jones creates a headline, and we benefit from it. I want that to be said. For that, I am eternally grateful to Jerry for giving us that spotlight. What he did yesterday was low. It was unfair. It was petty. It was insulting. And I have a response to Jerry at 9 o'clock today if it happens again. I have a plan in my own mind. I should have probably talked about it with you guys. I did call the boss and tell him what I plan on doing if it happens again. Because last night what he did.
You called Jerry?
Last night what he did with Diana Rossini gives me the impression that this is not over. That's my only worry in this. None of us are worried about our jobs. Okay, none of us are worried about any threats or Jerry moving the show. Whatever, if he wants to move the show, move the show. I'll get into that at 9. What I'm worried about is the tone and the respect level of the interviews moving forward with KMC on Friday and us on Tuesdays. Because what he did last night with Rossini in just continuing to cut us down with the insults, that bothers me from like a personal level. With a 15-year relationship that we have, that I thought we had with the man, and we didn't do anything wrong, in terms of getting out of line, offensive. That's what I have to say about that for now. Now, anyone want to add before we move on to the national reactions?
I'm stunned. I am taking this much more angrily than you are. I'm done with him.
Meaning,
I don't care about getting on national TV. I've never cared. I got nothing to say to him. Like
So what, are you going to be Bassick in interviews now?
Maybe. I mean.
Where did this come? I didn't hear any of this yesterday.
Well, I mean, I like to formulate my thoughts in private. I just, you know, that was what he did at the end. And there was the interview. I had no problem.
What if he apologizes?
Yeah, we cover. Yeah, that's different. That's different. I'm gullible. I will buy any apology.
Yeah.
You kill my dad and then say, hey, I'm sorry about that. Okay, I believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will believe any apology. But yeah, short of that, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I'm gonna do, but that I'm taking this much, much more
personal.
And I don't take anything personal. I don't get offended. I don't get insulted.
So what pushed you over that edge?
The comments at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really what it is. It was bad. I mean, I don't know how you usually see petty and you usually see billionaires try to muscle. It's usually the children of billionaires that do that. The ones who have a chip on their shoulder because they didn't create something, right? Because they have to prove their own to the world. Jerry doesn't have to do that. Billionaires like Jerry don't have to stoop to that level. They don't have to because they're secure.
Yeah.
They're very secure in who they are.
The stuff just about, just, you know, someone came up with a tweet yesterday. It was Daniel. So let me get this straight. He pays you guys, yet says you don't know football. So he admits to paying people who don't know football, which, again, he doesn't pay us. I don't know why he said that. I have no idea why he said that. Jane Slater with a hilarious tweet this morning. You guys really sounded like you studied up last night, talking a lot of football. Way to step up on the fundamentals. And she put out a picture of Football for Dummies. All right. Probably the most viral response yesterday. You want to say anything?
Just one thing I want to throw on top of that. I know you're saying maybe he didn't know what the reaction was. He didn't have time to be briefed. I find that very unlikely because he was on that plane and the reaction hit so fast that when he walked off the plane, he knew enough to tell Judy Batista, you want me to snap at you too. He knew it was a national conversation at that point. So I think he knew and he had time to think about it and he still said what he said.
Why do you think he said it? Just because they're crumbling and someone on ESPN said, I think it was Shannon, he goes, you can't sell the fans this time. Your time is up on selling us. The ruse is up. And Florio had said that as well. And you're backed into a corner and there's no way out. You're tied to $60 million a year. You know what's about to happen against San Fran. You can't sell us on it anymore. Now, the stadium's probably going to be full and the ratings are going to be high, but maybe that's an explanation. I don't know. That's why we have the fan text for your theories. Franco LaFranco Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053. Shannon Sharp with probably the strongest response yesterday on First Take.
To put a man in fear for his job. I hate, I detest, I despise someone that would prey on the weak. And because Jerry Jones is in an advantageous situation, because he has the power in this situation, he would actually say that publicly. That lets you be, that tells me a lot about a man. That'll tell me a lot about a man that has power and would abuse that power to tell that man, I will get somebody in here to ask me favorable questions. That is absolutely that guy's job, is to ask. What do you think his job was? See, Jerry wants all the credit when things go well, but none of the blame. He told us how many times, the buck stopped with me. Any deal that's ever happened, I either signed off on it or I got notified of it. Now, you getting trounced. You getting run through like Sherman went through Atlanta during the Civil War, and now you want no part of it when they ask you about it. Boy, this is and I don't take this lightly. If the Cowboys don't win another playoff game or another game, as long as Jerry Jones is the owner, I'll be the happiest man in the world. For that man to put that man in fear for his job. Now, you know moving forward, Saturday Swaggoo Stephen A., you know he's not going to ask him anything tough because that man needs that job. And for Jerry to say this publicly and say, I'm not laughing, I'm not joking, I'm out.
So this is on TV with Amanda in the room, and I had to like kind of look up to see if she still held some respect for Maury when he goes to prey on the weak.
On the weak,
and I said, I looked at her, I was like, yeah, I'm not weak, you know, I'm not weak like
small
that.
Hands. This weak, small just hands. Just tiny man who is so in fear, so every second of every
fear.
Day.
Yeah,
inferior.
He is like a little kitten in a New York alley, just cornered by other bigger animals,
like a big bear with paws, just batting the bunny around. Man, just batting the bunny. Around.
He's injured. He's hurt. Yeah. He's never gonna ask him a tough question again. You better believe. That.
Look, I appreciate what Shannon said. I understand what he was saying. But that part, I do make a promise. And I will go unemployed and get fired. I'll risk my job. I am not. And I'm going to, and we may have to have this conversation with Jerry Jones. And I think my bosses know this already. I'm not breaking news. We are not going to ask different questions than what we've been doing for 15 years. I won't do it. I will not do it. I don't take pieces of paper from anybody. I don't take questions from anyone. If I don't like the way you try to set up an interview, I decline the interview with people. That goes for the owner and the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. If we think that Mike McCarthy could be fired, we're going to ask him, is Mike McCarthy getting fired? If we think a coordinator is getting blown out, we're going to ask him, is a coordinator getting blown out? Why do you continue to get destroyed by elite football teams, out-toughed, out-physicaled? It's getting asked. If I have to be run out of here, I'll get run out of here. I have to sleep at night. That's what makes me sleep at night. Not collecting the paycheck. We got to do the right thing. We got to be professionals. We got to do the job the way it's supposed to be done. That's the way we've always done it. And as long as I'm in here, that's the way it's always going to happen.
Yeah, you said you don't take paper. I will say, I will take money.
Oh, you will?
Yeah, you can pay me.
And then you'll talk to him?
Yeah, you pay me off.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, all it's going to take is, hey, you know what, you want to go to that San Francisco game? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I would like to go to the San Francisco game. What time does the Jet leave?
The playmaker, Michael Irvin, with some very kind words yesterday talking about this on FS1.
Listen, Sean and RJ, very good friends of mine. Mm-hmm. They're very good at what they do. It's the best show in Dallas. They put on the best show, and it's certainly the best show on that network. And Sean does a great job asking questions, and Jerry's usually very, very good about answering them. Mm-hmm. And they do a great job and have a great interview. You can tell the frustration is mounting, and it is hot. Mm-hmm. I've never heard Jerry publicly go at anyone that way.
No, he usually don't.
I've never heard Jerry do that. And that right there, and I know how much he likes Sean. RJ, I started RJ. He used to be my board op guy. So these guys are the best. I know how much he likes Sean, and I've been at events with him. But for Jerry to go that way and get hot like that, yeah, Jerry's very frustrated. And it ain't Sean. He's just bringing it out. He's just bringing the frustration out. He's not creating it. That is what's going on with over there at that complex that's creating it.
Dan Patrick, Nick Wright, very kind yesterday on their platforms as well. There's someone, I think, who tried to placate to Jerry a little bit. And his name is Stephen A. Smith.
Oh.
This was Stephen A.'s initial response when they heard this yesterday on First Take.
Is he getting feisty? Is he ultra sensitive? Sure. But I'll be damned if I'm going to blame a radio host, knowing that on a weekly basis you signed up to go on that show.
That's right.
Knowing his job is to ask you those questions, and you're going to get on him and talk about, I'll get somebody else to ask the questions. Let me say this to Jerry Jones, and you know I love you. Jerry, come on, bro. You better than that.
Yep.
You better than that. That you are better than. You are somebody that has volunteered to go in front of the camera, in front of the microphone, based on what we heard, because I didn't hear the whole conversation.
Yeah.
Based on what we heard, that individual there did their job. You know what to expect after a debacle like that. Yeah. That's not about the radio host. That's not about a pundit or a member of the Fourth Estate. That is about your Dallas Cowboys being soft, being weak, being below average, playing in an unacceptable fashion, and them getting their ass kicked.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the, and this is should tell you how bad it was yesterday. That is, and it's not soft. It's probably one of the softer takedowns of Jerry from yesterday. And even still, it's like, you screwed up, and you volunteered for this, and they did their jobs, and you're wrong. And that was like a really nice approach to it. Like that's just where things got with Jerry. I got to imagine yesterday when he walks out and he's got a sense of what this is.
Of the owner's meeting?
Yeah, and what he says to Diana Russini is, I got to feel like that's just, it increased all the frustration. All that same frustration he felt in that moment. I think he's mad, and I think he's still going through. I'm sure, not necessarily an apology, sorry about that, but I'm sure he will be on with us in the next opportunity. He'll laugh it off, and he'll be like, guys, I get so worked up sometimes. You know me. I'm sorry about that. Like, that'll be kind of what we get.
That's what I was thinking, and I agree with you when you're like, I think Jerry could surprise call him today.
I think he could. I mean, I thought he would. I thought he would until the comments in the afternoon. I thought for sure, because I do believe he has done that before where he has called back.
KNC.
Yeah, and kind of cleared the air. And look, I mean, if that's what he wants to do, then great. I don't know, though, now after the comments in the afternoon, if that's still on the table.
Yeah. So that was Stephen A. at the beginning of the show. And then at the very end, I think he remembered, Jerry lets me do an interview in Frisco. Jerry lets us go ahead with the First Take Access Ford Center at the Star. And Stephen A. said, maybe we should think about this other angle.
Guys, let's bring a little balance to this in this regard. There is no defense for what Jerry did.
No.
He's wrong. That's not where I'm going. However, being in the media, you also have to take into account, because Jerry pays attention to the media, who he was talking to. We don't know at this particular moment in time who that person was. But we also don't know what history that they have in terms of, you listening to him talk every day. You listen to him talk to his audience every day. You're listening to how that particular person comes at you every day. Because there's no excuse for what Jerry did. It's flagrantly wrong and stupid. Why would you do that? Why would all of a sudden you, who's very experienced in going in front of the media, very experienced in going on a microphone, very experienced going in front of the camera, experienced going on that particular show every week because that's what you signed on to do. All of a sudden, you got blown out in the playoffs. You lost 3 years in a row. You can't win more. You only won 2 playoff games in 8 years. And all of a sudden, we heard that. Why? Why? I'm saying 2 things can be true. He could be wrong as hell and unfair as hell, bullying and all of those things that Shannon, Swag, you, Jeff Saturday, you, Shay, have pointed out. That could be absolutely true. But we also have to ask ourselves, he's not done that before. Why in the hell would he be stupid enough to do that now for the world to see? Because we're going to hear it, and it's going to go viral, and everybody, we're talking about it on national television, and we're going to continue to talk about it. What happened there?
So that made me think a little bit, and I do want to give Jerry this little pass. Our interviews with Jerry have been, I think, 10 out of 10 cordial, respectful, mutual respect. Every year in Malibu, I thank him. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate the back and forth. And he reciprocates and talks to us about that. But I will say this. We've been murdering them since the offseason. We've been destroying them, ruthlessly taking them apart, the whole station. He obviously hears that. People in the building hear that. Things get back to people. They gather up social media and present it on the desks of the bosses over there. For that, I can understand him being really pissed off and taking out some anger on us and some of the people he talks to at this radio station. We kill him. Like, it's a human, he's a human being. And we just punch and punch and punch and punch. And that would force anyone to snap. So I give Jerry a little bit of that grace. It may not have just been about the way the interview went, because I don't see how I could get mad about that. It could be you all have been attacking us and kicking us in the nuts for months and months and months and months, and I'm sick of it. That's another one of my theories. And I think that theory, I don't flush that theory. I think that I could understand why he was ticked off yesterday because of that.
I think the only thing is, he's been getting kicked for 40 years, 30 years, really.
But we've never had an off season like that. We've never had an off season like that, and we have not had this level of negativity. They are 3-3, all right? They are 3-3, and I don't know if a 3-3 football team, it doesn't usually get reacted to like this. This venom from the fans, negativity, is way more. He's had 12 win seasons. We haven't broken down in the last 3 years and attacked the Cowboys to this degree because of their regular season success. And we haven't gotten on them for an offseason the way that we just did. We turned it up, too.
Not in the last 15 years. I mean,
that's a long time.
It is, but like the conversations were very, very difficult back in the Campo years. Right, it was 5-11 every year. I mean, it was that he's taken this pounding before.
Well, that's a long time ago.
It is a long time
ago. And he's 82 now.
There's no doubt.
We are
an issue.
Look, again, it just goes to my confusion yesterday of like why Jerry is trying to give the impression that he wants to control the media. Like, don't blow that up, Jerry. Do not destroy all the great, awesome goodwill that you've built up with every media member who knows that you're not Vladimir Putin with state-run media. We have killed them, though. Like, we have been ruthless over and over and over and over again. Not like I've ever seen in my 15 years here.
I think the Detroit game made him angry on its own. I think that alone made him angry. I think it was a sobering reality that we're not close to these other teams. And then I think he stood out there outside the locker. I think Jeff Kolb from Fox 4 upset him. Like, that was clear where he said, do you think I'm an idiot? Do you? And I don't think there's anything wrong with what Jeff asked. Jeff,
why
just,
would he be upset? You had to know it was coming.
He had taken a couple questions on it. The question that got him worked up was, it was like the third.
Like,
or
I put
one.
Out a poll question in the third quarter of what will happen with McCarthy's job. If you have any sense of media, which Jerry does, you knew it was coming.
Which he got three. He had answered three questions about McCarthy's status to that point. When Jeff said, I think his exact wording was, at what point do you consider a change? Like, okay, well, then if you're not now, at what point do you consider a change? Which I don't think is that bad. But with Jerry specifically, like, I think that's fine. You want to ask it that way. And Jeff was, I don't think Jeff was trying to be unfair at all. I know Jeff. Jeff's a good guy. I think that what happened there was he got hit with what Jerry always hates, which is, do not ask me about some of the most sensitive topics possible under the guise of a hypothetical. You've already asked me about him. This is three answers I've given.
That's
you already saying I'm
are,
not
though they're hypotheticals.
I know, but
he knows that.
I know, but to say like, hey, tell us like, well, I don't know, I guess if we lose by 70 the next 3 weeks, I'd fire. Like, that's what Jerry doesn't like. It's like, nope, I've given you an answer three times. I've told you I've shut it down.
Yep.
And so that frustrated him. I think he got mad because he's like, I think he felt in that moment like, oh no, I give you guys a lot. This is you're trying to get me right now. Yeah. And I don't like that. And so I don't think he liked that. He sat on it. He was going to owners' meetings. To be honest, probably a little bit of an ego thing. He's got to go walk into a room with a bunch of owners and probably feels a little like, my team sucks right now. And then we hit him with some stuff that was, again, I don't think unfair. Wasn't even super pointed, just direct. And he can say he could take it from the fans. I would have taken it if it was from the fans. If the next time he comes on the air, he wants us to just open the phones and roll screenless and throw out questions to him. He doesn't want that.
You don't want that. You do not want that. Mac Angle, Fort Worth Star Telegram, who I spoke to at length last night, wrote this yesterday. On Tuesday, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys crossed the line that, in retrospect, it's hard to believe he didn't step over years ago. From a radio standpoint, this is gold. From a Cowboys standpoint, this was awkward. From a personal standpoint, this was sad. Jerry being feisty is not bad. Not only is it entertaining, but at least creates the perception that a man with more money than half of Western Europe still gives a damn, implying in any way that he wants some version of a state-run media where he is asked, sir, what makes you so great is pathetic and uncharacteristic. For about 2.5 years, I sat next to Sean and RJ on The Fan for these Tuesday morning interviews. Then he put in parentheses, then they canned me.
Good. Good line.
Matt continues, every now and then, Jerry's exchanges with the host could become a little tense, but nothing too bad. Again, it never grew too bad because you can ask Jerry anything. Nothing Sean or RJ did was remotely out of line or inconsistent with how they normally handle the interview. The morning show pair have held this interview with Jerry for the better part of the last decade. Jerry typically provides good fodder. Tuesday's segment was good fodder until it wasn't. As his average roster plods through what is shaping up to be a disappointing and average season, we may not forget this radio appearance. We might if it was 10 years ago. We're more apt to remember it because Jerry's 82. And currently our ears are loaded with observations, criticisms of high-profile, senior citizen-age leaders doing things that 82-year-old people are apt to do. Forget a few things. Say a few words out of order or snap. It happened to Jerry. For the first time, Jerry Jones sounded like an angry old man. So that was Mac Angle, Fort Worth Star Telegram, yesterday.
Yeah, Mac always had a way with words.
Well, I would hope so. He's a damn writer.
He could always write.
Part of this is also, they always say, you know, the line, never let him see you sweat. And I think Jerry totally believes in that.
Oh, this is Emperor Has No Clothes.
I think that what happened here yesterday, part of the thing of coming back to and doubling down on it is, my guess is he knows he went overboard. And he just, in a moment of probably frustration and insecurity about everything that's being spoken about him, he just was grasping for, what's an excuse here that I can point to? Well, they shouldn't ask me. I would have taken it from other people because he knows the questions weren't unfair.
Right.
I won't take it from them. I genuinely think he'll reflect on it and have some sort of thing to say about it.
I'll play Marcus Spears real quick because a lot of Tolos said this was the explanation why. This is the former Cowboy yesterday on ESPN. He looked pained. He looked pained that this actually happened.
To me, the interview didn't matter at that point. When that part of it about I have somebody else ask me questions, the interview didn't matter. And I'm going to go to another side of it because, Shay, you hit that perfectly. It's an admission of guilt. It's an admission of you've done the wrong thing. And because of that, this team is where they are. Listen, everybody knows I'm a Cowboy fan. Everybody knows that I think Jerry actually wants to win. Everybody also knows that I think the best path forward for the Cowboys to win is for Jerry to get his ass out the way.
So there's Marcus Spears saying he knows deep down, backed into a corner and lashing out. All right, let's take a break from all this. Let's hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on. Unbelievable, unimaginable support yesterday from all the Tolos, and it continues this morning. So let's give you some tickets. And then, how did the wide receiver trades that the Cowboys did not participate in, how did they affect your NFL power rankings? 1 through 5, 5 through 1 is next after this.